One defendant was murdered during the trial. We didn't know it at the time, and to this day I don't know why, but one day he just didn't show up in the courtroom. We asked the judge to revoke his bail, and he did. And then we found out our defendant had been revoked altogether. Another defendant was shot the evening of his lawyer's summation. His attorney finished up, the two of them went down to the village for a little dinner, and before he knew it, he had a bullet in him that left him paralyzed. When we next saw him in the courtroom a few days later, he was shackled into a wheelchair. Yet another defendant was so sore at his attorney's summation that he put out a hit contract on him. As the old saying goes, you just can't make this stuff up. Tommaso Buschetta was our sole cooperating mafia witness, and he was an impressive one, from the highest ranks of Sicilian crime. Giovanni Falcone had basically talked him into the role. He was the first of the pentiti, the Italian mafioso who chose to repent and cooperate under pressure from Falcone. Since Italy had no equivalent to a federal witness protection program, Buschetta went into our own program for safekeeping while prosecutions were being prepared on both sides of the Atlantic. The wiretap transcripts were the true heart of our case. We had hundreds upon hundreds of hours of wiretaps to introduce. I'd had it all translated, and the translations had been authenticated. But what to do with the results? Wiretaps are only episodically interesting. Guys will talk for 15 minutes about their dog or their bunions or the problems they're having with the wife before they drop the 10 words you've been listening for all along. If jurors had to read through all those pages just to get to the few nuggets buried inside them, they were bound to fall asleep. So I did something never tried before, as far as I knew. I hired a troupe of actors, bona fide professionals, equity members, to take the parts of the defendants and other key players and read their lines to the jury. One actor played Gaetano Badalamenti, another enacted Salvatore Catalano, and on and on. The defense objected, naturally, and there was no precedent. But the judge ruled that I could present the case any way I wanted to, and the actors proved to be a huge hit. Day after day they would show up and perform their roles, as if they were in some long-running off-off-Broadway show that required new dialogue every day. The witness room became, in effect, the actors' green room. I'd seen them in there from time to time, slipping into their roles, putting on the characters. They all had great voices, and over time the jury came to love them, even anticipate their performances. In addition to the 22 people on trial at the defendant's table, there were at least 22 lawyers. I tried the case with four extraordinary prosecutors: Bob Bucknam, who later became chief of staff at the FBI, Dick Martin, Bob Stewart, and Andy McCarthy. Add in our bailiffs, my troop of actors, a sea of witnesses, an avid press, and plenty of spectators, and you couldn't tell the players without a program. And even then, people sometimes got it wrong. Witnesses would take the stand. I'd say, "Do you know Mr. Badalamenti or Mr. Catalano?" And they'd say, "Oh, yes." Then I'd invite them to look around the courtroom and pick him out. And they'd examine that sea of faces and point to our own lawyers, FBI agents, you name it. The choices were just too many. One of my favorite such witnesses was an Italian named Salvatore. He fancied himself a financier, but in fact he was a bagman. His job was to pick up the cash and deliver it. Purely a middleman, at least in this operation. But a character through and through. Plump, with big bifocals, he wore a serious